are indeed the people of the end time. Many times you ask yourself the question, why are we the people of the end time? Is it just somebody saying so? No. The end times, we had six times, seven times. Six times for man, one time for God. 6,000 years for man, 1,000 years for God. We have gone over the 6,000 years, and we're gone into the God's 1,000 years. And in this time, God said he would do something. Let us turn to Genesis chapter 2 and look at it again. And as we look at the Word of God, God speaks to you. God speaks to you. God does not only speak to the ministry. He speaks to the church. You are blessed with some very strong ministries. That is, you have the apostolic ministry, meaning to say God calls somebody and send the person with a word so that the person can't preach his own word. I would love to bring in some of those nice theories which I used to have, but I cannot bring in my own words. I have to bring in what I'm hearing. And so it is no great thing. It's not, that doesn't make me a great person. It makes me a person who's in more trouble than everybody else. For I have to hear God in order to talk to God's people. Now, there's a check and balance. Whole system, fivefold ministry. Don't believe you're just going to grab and swallow. God says those who just grab, swallow, run off with it, they are unclean animals. The unclean animals do not chew their cud. But the clean animals take in the food. As a matter of fact, I understand that a cow has four stomachs and that he chews and then he regurgitates and he eats up that thing again and chew it again. And when he is finished with the grass out there, it becomes meat. Yes. It becomes meat. He is a factory, a manufacturing plant that turns grass and green things into meat. There's no machinery that is made of man that can make meat. I have seen them do something that almost make meat in Germany, but I couldn't take it. It was not meat, you see. And then they were using meat to make meat. But I am talking about, in other words, you might call it a bologna or something else. But when we talk about God making an animal that can eat grass and turn the grass into meat, amen, and it is something wonderful. But he did that for a purpose. Because God says, all clean animals behave like the cow. So if you are a spiritual clean person, you will not grab and run. Some people, you go to Bible school, you get a lot of messages, lessons, teachings. You put them in cans. And you break a can this Sunday, and you break one, and you mix cans together, and you, amen, you become a manufacturer of messages. Now, a message must be something that comes from one for another person to take it to another person. So when a person brings a message to you, the first thing you say, who sent it? So a message must have three people: the sender, the carrier, and the receiver. And so when God speaks in his church, it's not an isolated thing that I can say, well, God says so and so, and you must do it. Huh? You are going to do what God says inside of you. Amen. You are not responsible for the word that I gave you until you receive it. Woe be unto you if you receive it and don't walk in it. In other words, it does not become flesh in you. You have the power and that God gives. Now, some of the food that you eat, filled with vitamins, filled with all the goodness that makes human life function, and only 20% of it goes into your body. The rest of it is cast out. Amen. Some of the food you eat. So, well, it's good, and in a way it's good, because I've been eating for 84 years. What would I be like if I was storing all that I was eating? Amen. God makes it that you only get a part of what you eat. But then, God wants you to be like that in the spirit. He doesn't want you to be wasting, sending out the food that you get as waste matter. The messages that God gives you, you become responsible for it. So, people of God who walk in the body of Christ in time ministry, they are more guilty of righteousness than those who walk elsewhere where they don't get the food from the Lord. Genesis chapter 2. The heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. Sun, moon, stars, everything complete. And on the seventh day, 6 24-hour day periods passed. How do we know it was 24 hours? There was evening and morning. That means in the evening, the sun comes back to the same spot where it was last evening. In other words, we found out that it was the earth that was spinning and not the sun. So the earth was moving, and it created a thing that we call time. You know that time is not a reality, really. The reason why 24 hours for me is 24 hours for you, because we are all the same. Did you know that? A fly will live, have great-great-grandchildren in 48 hours. And tell his grandchildren how old he is, and he's ready to die. 48 hours. But he doesn't lose anything. The time to him is just like the 80 years to you. And so a dog has a different concept of time. And animals have different concepts of time. And all of us are living here. The sun is going, moving just the same for you and I and for the dog. We are in different worlds as far as time is concerned. And God made it so. Now we're going to see why God made it so. On the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made. On the seventh day, what did God do? He ended his work which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. Now, one person heard me preach this, and he said, you are preaching error, because the Bible said God rested on the seventh day, and it means that God rested on the seventh day, he didn't do anything more. Well, he said that when we say God ended his work on the seventh day, it didn't mean that he did anything. He just ended. So then he would have ended on the sixth day. Help me, brethren. If he didn't do anything on the seventh day, then he would have ended his work when? On the sixth day. Amen. But if he ended his work on the seventh day, then he did something. Amen. He finished up. Yes. Amen. Now, but why? How can we be sure that this word is as I am telling it to you and it is not as the other brother? You know why? Because we are in the seventh day and it ain't finished. In other words, those people could guess and they could say this. And they could say that, and the theologians could argue, but there is no argument for us now because we are right here and we know it's the seventh day and it isn't finished. So, we understand. It's like we used to believe one time that the 3.5 years of the God dealing with the church was before the end of the tribulation. But all of a sudden, we are coming to the end of the tribulation, and we see, although the worst part is left to come, that the sons of God have not come forth yet. I don't know if any you have seen one. Has anybody heard of one? A man came on the television yesterday and said he is Jesus Christ. He's a pitiable fellow. I'm so sorry for him. He looked so wretched. And he was saying that he is Jesus Christ. Amen. I haven't seen one yet that has come through into the glory of God, which God has promised to be like Jesus. Amen. And remember, the promise is not when you die. If you have to die to become like Jesus, then Jesus has not accomplished what he has set out to accomplish. So in this life, in flesh and blood, we must be changed and must come forth like Jesus Christ. My goodness. Anybody else believe it beside me? Amen. Oh, you believe it? I mean, I'm just quoting scriptures right along. You see, Jesus, look at the disciples one, they said, be ye perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. He didn't say, be ye perfect even like me. He said, like God Almighty is perfect. Left no ambiguity, no guessing and spelling there, he was saying, you can be perfect one day, and you will be. Jesus would not tell you to be something that you could never be. Those brethren were not perfected, but the church is going to be perfected. And you must, I'm just telling you basic things that you must believe, because this is basic in Christ Jesus. If it's not, if you don't believe it, question it, chew on it, look it up in the Bible until it becomes walking truth for you. Amen. So the seventh day, and he rested on the Sabbath from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day. Did God bless every day? He blessed which day? The seventh day. And sanctified it. Because that in it he had rested from all his work which he created and made. It's so simple. God makes some things and he create some things. Amen?
Amen.
Ford Motor Company makes some cars that can go 120 miles, and he created accidents. He made cars for transportation. No intention of polluting the air, but it created pollution. So he became responsible for both that which he made and that which he created. So would you say God made the atom bomb? No, but he made man. He made man, and thus he created the atom bomb. It was there all along. Man found it out. So, if you understand the scripture, he said he made and he created. Turn back to chapter 1. And just look at the same word being used here. Verse 11. And God said, let us... I meant verse 24. And God said, let the earth bring forth... living creatures. And God made the earth. And verse 26. And God said, let us make man. Hear this one. Let us make man to look like us in our image. So if you want to know what God looks like, you get to a mirror, eh? So you'd say, well, God has some big eyes. How big would a God's eye have to be able to see in all dimensions at the same time? Okay. I'm looking at many things. I'm looking at the piano. And what I see is a box with some white keys in front, and you could make a box with white keys in front that don't have inside what the piano has inside of it. I cannot see any more right looking here now than box with keys. Amen? What is God seeing? God is seeing the first dimension. As a matter of fact, my eyesight is on three dimensions. I can only see three sides of that box at the same time. God settles that by saying that you should be one. We should be one. So that while I am seeing the back side of the piano, my brother there is sitting seeing the other side, and he can tell me what the other side looks like, and somebody else there could tell me what that looks like, and maybe we could put a instrument down into the piano and see what the inside looks like. So by the body of Christ coming together, the spiritual vision increases. Yet, there are some dimensions of natural eye cannot see. So therefore, God looks at the piano. He sees the outside. He sees the inside. He sees the inside of the inside and the inside of the outside. And he sees the inside of the atoms that make the inside of the inside. And he's seeing everything at the same time. Now, that would make me be afraid of a person like that. To be honest with you, God sees the outside, he sees the inside, he sees my heart and my mind, he sees what somebody's thinking here tonight, he sees what you thought yesterday, and he sees everything, and he's seen everybody at the same time, seeing everything. That is totally impossible for us to conceive. Yet, that's the truth about God. That's the truth about God. So therefore, if you want a young lady to marry, you ask God. Father, tell me about that one over there. But you know what happened? Sometimes you get hooked before you ask God. Somebody say amen. Yes. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You get hooked with the young lady before you ask God. So when you ask God, you are saying, oh Lord. Like the man, you go to God and say, oh Lord. I'm asking you please to give me a wife. But please God, let it be Mary. Oh Lord, let it be Mary. That time he's already hooked with Mary. So he wants God to give. But you see, stupid. It's so simply stupid. Because if I know that you know what I don't know, and I ask you, what's going on over there? And you say, No. I should rejoice and say, thank you, Jesus. Because you have saved me out of a pit.
Hallelujah.
The person is not a pit. The person is a beautiful, lovely, delightful person. But you don't know what is going to happen down the street. And how the person will react and what is the condition. And God knows it. God knows it before it happens.
Amen.
Therefore, I would love to have a friend like who can see the inside of the inside and the outside of the inside of the inside.
Hallelujah.
I would love to have a friend like that. And so, God makes some things. And in making some things, he creates some things. And he makes everything good.
Amen.
Don't forget that. God makes everything good. If the thing hurts you, it's good. The hurt is not good, but the thing is good. Now, then 26. God said, let us make man in our image. Stop there again. We would look like God. So when I look at Jim, I can see God. But if I'm looking at Jim to see God in the natural, I am making a mistake. You see, because God sees, God give you eyes. Amen. He gives you eyes. Because he hears, he gives you ears. Peter did chop off the man's ear, and Jesus took it up, put it back on. Was Peter wrong to chop off his ear? If Jesus did and did what Peter did, would you say Peter committed a sin to cut off his ear? Jesus wanted him to cut off the ear. Because Jesus told him to buy the sword the day before. Jesus knew Peter's nature, that he would chop down the whole forest if he could. And he told him to burn. And he chopped off the man's ear, and Jesus wanted that man. Jesus wanted that man, and he wanted to put on that man's ear. And so he bent down, picked it up, put it back on. That man was never the same again. Amen. Suppose it was your ear, brother. Suppose it was your ear and Jesus came and put on your ear back. You'd never forget it. As long as you live, you never forget it. So, praise be to God. Jesus won a soul just by Peter's sword. So then the spiritual attributes of God are tantamount to the five senses that we have. He feels, sees, he hears, he speaks, he smells. The Bible said he smells a sweet savor. But all those senses are on different frequencies. And that shows you that God is, it's no words can describe God. No words can describe God. Don't even try. Amen. When Moses went before Pharaoh, God, he said, what would I tell him is your name? Now, we are used to names describing the person. But there was no word to describe God. God said, tell him, I am, I am. Amen. Tell him one Hebrew word, repeat it twice, Ayah, Ayah. That's me. Amen. Now, so then the next one, he said, after our likeness, let us make man in our image, but after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air and over cattle and over every living thing on the earth. Creeping things, everything. Now look at the 27th verse. Remember, the 26th verse says, I am going to make man in my image and after my likeness. 27 says, so God created man in his own image. Image of God created he him, male and female, created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over it, the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. God said nothing more about his likeness. Do you think it was a mistake, an omission? Huh? No. God did not omit anything. What he did, he could make man in his image,
yes,
but he could not make man.
Amen.
In his likeness. Man had to be created in his likeness. In other words, given the capacity to achieve God's likeness. In other words, the likeness means, in short terms, be like God. Be like God. Satan came in the garden and said, hey, you will be like God. You'll be like God if you eat the fruit. It's just like some of the tricks that the preachers are playing on people. You'll get the Holy Ghost if you say Shabbalah. This will happen if you did so and so, you know. As I told the man, told his sister in West Palm Beach, he said, if you start to call out for Jesus, you will come into perfection. You will see Jesus. She did, and he did come. But as far as I know, she wasn't any different from the other Christian. Amen. So, If you look with me here, that when he made man, he made man male and female, one person, and he called him them.
Amen.
Yes, the man had in him the whole race, the whole human race was in Adam. And the scripture said he dismantled Adam. Pull him up. You know, like you pull down a car. And he took out. Certain Adam didn't have any use for. And he made Eve. He made Eve. And since then, brothers, we have not been able to keep away from Eve. Our desire is towards Eve. Amen. And, you know, the natural thing that God planted in you to make you a man is that you desire a woman. Why is it that every man who God says is a normal man desires a woman? Because a man is only half a person, and the other half is walking around there. He wants fulfillment for his own nature. He must have fulfillment in his own nature by finding the partner. But some men are not compatible with some. So I was in the bathroom one day having a shower. In our place, we have outdoor showers. So I was having an outdoor shower, this little zinc bathroom. I'm there again, I'm looking at it. just zinc put around and a shower coming down, concrete floor. And I was having my bath there as a young boy. And I heard my mother and my sister going head to head. This one said, "That chair is blue. Don't you see it's green? And it has more green in it than blue. And it has more blue than green." And they would argue over every living thing. And as a little boy, I said, "Oh, God, I would love to be married when I grow up. But please, don't give me a wife like my mother or like my sister." They would argue you down to the ground. They'd kill you with argument. Well, some people are like that. But then, my father loved her so much. You know, sometimes you'd hear her saying, "Oh, Dan, you must do this and you must do that." And he said, "Oh, yes, Mitty." And she would talk him into sleep. And it was, "Oh, yes, Mitty." It was, "Okay, Mitty, yes." But he was made with that kind of nerves that he could take. But I could not take it. And God saw my plight. And he gave me a wife that will hardly talk. Amen. So it's not every Adam that can take every Eve. You have to ask God, "Lord God, where is my Eve? Send me Eve that my soul can be at peace and rest. I don't want an Eve to keep me up all night talking." So praise be to God. No, haven't you thought of how amazing God is to make this thing? He made it to operate. He made it to operate just like you see it's going on here. And through that situation, he hopes to bring forth perfection. There is a part in the woman that the man lacks. The only way I can tell you is a very carnal way I can describe it to you. I put down something and I can't find it. And I'm distressed. And I look here and I look here and I look everywhere and I can't find it. And I said, "Mavis, have you seen my shoes?" And she said, "There it is." It bothers me. The honest, why didn't I see it? Amen. That's a very carnal way of telling you the difference. But there is a situation there that every good man must have a woman beside him that matches his nature. And some of you who will go about saying, "Oh God, why can't I get a wife? Everybody's getting married and I can't find my partner." You are not believing God. Don't you think God knows what he's doing?
Amen.
Amen?
Yes.
Like I was telling you, telling a young man the joke today of how I I went to a young lady. I couldn't just have any young lady like how all the other boys were getting married and getting trained. And I'm getting older every day and so on, so on, so on, so on. And I get the thing in my mind. And so I went to this young lady and asked her to marry me. And I didn't expect she was going to say yes. So I went away, and when I came back, and we were talking, and she said, "Oh yes, yes, I will marry you." And I was so frightened. I didn't know what to do. And anyhow, I went away and prayed, and God said loud, big, "No." And I'm telling you, I never talked to that until this day. If she's coming here, I'm going that way. You ever made a mistake in your life?
Oh, yes.
Okay, all right. Well, I realize what a destruction it would be. What a destruction it would be for me to marry the wrong person. Then my whole ministry would have been destroyed. Did you understand that? When you should be thinking about God, you have to be babysitting a sister. When you should be doing this, you'd have to be doing that. So God makes a special woman. I believe it. I believe it, brethren. God makes a special woman for every man. Every man who will walk in righteousness and in truth before God, God will bring your partner to you. You don't have to go worrying, fussing, looking here and looking there, and why don't this happen and why don't that happen.
Amen.
God will bring your partner to you. So God has been constructing his body for 6,000 years. 6,000 years. Jesus Christ gave a parable. And he said, there was a certain man who was going from Jerusalem down to Jericho. And he fell among thieves. And there was a certain Samaritan who came along and saw the man's plight and took him up. You know? Attended to his wounds, poured in oil and wine, bandaged him up, took him to an innkeeper, and said to the innkeeper, "You keep him for me. I give you 2 pence. You remember that story? I give you 2 pence. And he said, if, you watch that one now. He said, if I tarry longer, when I come back, I'll pay you. What's the meaning of that parable? A parable means that the good Samaritan was Jesus himself. And he gave the wounded church into the hand of keepers, a fivefold ministry. And he said, "I will return in 2,000 years. But if I tarry," he well knew he was going to tarry. "If I tarry,"
hallelujah,
"when I come, I will pay."
Hallelujah.
Did you see that parable to mean that?
Amen.
Amen. Now, 2,000 years have gone. But just barely, as far as God and time is concerned. And we expect Jesus Christ to come. But how do you expect Jesus Christ to come? Remember, the Father, all right, made an incision into Adam, and out of his side, he took a rib, and he made a woman out of the rib. Are you understanding? Now, Jesus Christ went to the cross and was crucified, and the centurion pushed a sword in the same place where Adam got his cut. Are you with me? And the sword went through his heart, and out came blood and water. And that was the birth of the church. Amen. So he said, I would tarry for 2,000 years. But it's going to be a little bit over 2,000 years. I will tarry. So then, we are expecting the woman to be completely formed. Amen. Out of the side of the man. Now for 6 days, for 6,000 years, this woman has been being formed. And she's going to be completed on the seventh day. Amen?
Amen.
Now, the Jewish day, how did the Jewish day go? Can somebody tell me?
Evening and morning.
Oh, when did evening start?
Sundown.
About 6 o'clock, sundown. And then, that wasn't evening, was it? If it was evening and morning. Huh? If it was evening and morning, then it's evening to evening. I suggest it to you. But the day was made up of evening and morning. So then evening comes before morning. I want you to be with me. I don't expect you to be sleeping at this time.
Amen.
It's too early. If evening comes first, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 8, 9, 10, 11, midnight. It's part of the evening.
Yeah.
Huh? Then it turns over morning, 1 o'clock a.m. going on. Now, where are we? Are you there? Where? Are we in the evening or in the morning? And if you answer me, why did you answer me like that? So you are careful not to say anything.
We are in the
evening.
Evening before midnight.
Before midnight. So then, because midnight has not yet come, you know that we are still in the evening. So then, when is midnight going to come? Help me.
The bridegroom. At midnight, the bridegroom. Cry when I behold the bridegroom.
After midnight comes, what comes? Morning. So then, we are sure that midnight has not yet come.
Yes.
Now, narration could be as sure as we are. You understand?
Amen.
Because in other generations, I'd be guessing and spelling and say, Jesus is coming in 1885, and this one is saying Jesus is coming in such and such a time. And so we happen to know that Jesus cannot come until the church is sealed. We have not yet received the fullness of that seal in our form. We are being sealed, but we're not perfect yet. But then go back at it. Midnight is the time when it is so dark on earth that no other period before or after will be that dark. Do you remember scripture saying that? Yes. It said there shall be such tribulation on earth that never was since God made man until this time ever be such tribulation. Now, it would seem to me then that the church will know before anybody else when Jesus will come. Now, hear this one. I don't know if you're going to believe it though, but you can hear it. If Jesus comes before you get sealed, the church would be destroyed. Huh? Revelation 7, hurt not the earth, nor the sea, nor the Christians, nor the trees, nor the nations, until we have sealed the servants of God in their forehead. Without that sealing, you would not survive. Amen. You understand? Now, let's look at it. How near are we to midnight? Well, according to Revelation, what God has revealed to me, this midnight is to take place in the year 2008. Now, believe it if you want. Don't believe it if you want. It won't stop it. Don't you understand?
Brother DeSalle.
Yes.
Would that mean like 2008 is the time that our calendar is?
Well, I tell you what. You go and ask the Lord. He told me 2008. So, I myself have been thinking, I say, I wonder, you know, because I remember one time God told me that a man would die in the beginning of the year, but he didn't say 2000 and anything. He said the beginning of the year. He would die at the beginning of the year if he did not repent. He said he would take sick and he would die in the beginning of the year if he did not repent. Now, I was foolish enough to go to the church and tell them that God said that if you don't repent, you will be sick in November and then you will die in January. Now, in God's vocabulary, there's no January. No. God would never say January. January is Janus, the God of beginnings. It is dedicated to a heathen God. So God doesn't recognize January. But he said the beginning of the year. But your poor, humble servant had to bear his stripes because I got whipped. And to this day, you ask some of those people, thousands of people who we used to preach to, they'll tell you, and he's a false prophet because he gave a prophecy that wasn't true. Well, in November, the man was flying in his airplane and he took so sick. He could hardly land the plane. He landed on a military field. They took him off to the hospital, and he was in the hospital, and by the end of December, he was better, and he came out, and he came to me. Here am I. God, that's he. Amen. Well, I was baffled. I was distressed. Not that I wanted to see him dead, but I know he wasn't. He didn't repent. And, you know, a prophet has to be careful, you know, because the prophet might prefer to see the man dead so that he might be a true prophet. But I was baffled because they say, now you are a false prophet. And that man went for January, he went February doing his thing, March, April 15th, I was down in Homestead in Florida. And the Lord said, came up behind me in the middle of the day and said, it is the first of Abib. All of a sudden I woke up, realized that when he told me the first of the year, he meant April. While I was running to tell Mavis that the Lord had said, this is Abib, we switched on the radio and the news came right over just like it was for us, that so and so crashed into the mountain in Colombia, and there were four people in the plane that were burnt to cinders. Yeah, I am afraid of prophecy. You hear me? So when I say this, I'm trying to use the words I receive. He said 2008. Yes. He said the year 2008. Whether it is God's 2008 or man's 2008, I don't know, but I believe 2008 is 2008. Amen. Amen. Now, if then the tribulation is going to come to that dark point where never since God made man, and never before or after, at that time, he said, he will deliver all them whose names are written in the book. Amen? Amen. Then we are talking about 2008. Yes. You know something, just talk over that.
That the Lord told him at the end of this year, that's what he said.
Who said so?
Robinson.
Yeah.
I didn't hear it. Somebody told me, I don't know if that's true or not, that there's going to be a exchange, a nuclear exchange. The Lord said there was going to be a nuclear exchange.
And you believe that he believes that?
Do I believe it?
You believe that Pat believes that? You said Pat Robertson said so.
I heard that's what he said.
Yes, yes.
I don't know.
Well,
maybe at the end of the year, whatever that means. The end of this year.
It could be true, right? But I would not take that as preaching material. And I tell you why. Because if you believe that, you would be doing certain things. You know? For instance, he would just send us a few millions here. That we could fix the things we have to fix. In other words, I know that some people's belief go to a point and it doesn't go any further than that. But let us not criticize what he says. But if he says so, he probably should have heard from the Lord. It's possibly heard from the Lord. But, you know, I think that the Spirit of the Lord showed me this, Now, if 2008 is the year in which this destruction will begin, because I don't know, it might last for 3.5 years. Of course, I can't see a nuclear exchange lasting for more than a month. But if we're going to think, we need to get our house in order.
Amen.
Amen. We need to get our house in order. Because our money, if an atom bomb bursts in the United States, your dollar is worth nothing.
Amen.
I don't know. Does somebody think that the dollar would go up in value? Amen. So every dollar that I have on the things of the Lord, I would like to spend it. I'd like to buy a lot of windmills to give electricity. I'd like to buy some solar panels to give us hot water. And I would really do go to town with buying a lot of these things, and all the groups and everybody. We build up our refuge and ask the Holy Ghost to put a fence around it so that our fruits and vegetables can feed the nations. Like what happened in Switzerland when Chernobyl break loose. God showed us there were some women who had a camp, and their fruits never was contaminated with the radiation. Even as far as England, they had to be killing sheep and animals. And in Switzerland, that was very close, much closer to Chernobyl than England, there the women had sheep that was tested and could be eaten. And they had vegetables to feed other people. So I do believe that God will, if we just obey Him, is going to put a wall around us.
Amen.
Amen. And as we talk about this God that can see all down the road and knows everything that's going to happen, He is the one that I would like to keep close to and to hear from. Amen. Yes, let's get back on this thing. I really want to keep on it, because there's a point there that I want to bring to you. The making of the man, then, the completion of the man. The man is incomplete because he was cut in two, and part of him walked off as a woman, and the coming back together in union brings back the perfection as completion. Hallelujah. By the way, going of the numerology, the word for completion is 12. Right? And if you were complete, Brother Tim, what good would it be to you if we weren't? You'd be a sorter. We would beat the daylights out of you because we couldn't understand you. You are the only person around. What a calamity that would be. So therefore, a perfect man needs a perfect body. Amen? Of people.
Amen.
So perfect man, 12. Perfect body, 12.
Yeah.
12 by 12, it's 144. And that's how 144 comes into the scriptures. But then, 144, there's only one way that it would surpass if it is 0, 0, 0. Amen. And so when God speaks about the 144,000, He's not talking about a number of people. He's talking about the nature of a people.
Amen.
The fullness of Christ. Completed man, completed church in the fullness of Christ. The image of Christ. In other words, he would make you into his likeness. The likeness of Jesus Christ is 1,000. Isn't it simple?
Yeah.
Now, it would be simpler if you had believed it. Amen. Now, let me finish up. 2008, then, what is it God is expecting from the church? God is expecting you to make the perfect offering of your soul. Are you with me? God is expecting you to make the perfect offering of your soul. What is that? He's expecting you to get to the golden altar.
Hallelujah.
To have nothing more in you but wanting God.
Yes.
And offering up yourself to God. Regardless, losing that self preservation situation. Losing it completely. And like incense being burnt, then you can enter into the holiest of all.
Hallelujah.
Stop there. We are not there. Huh? Now tell me, brother, what's going to bring you from there, from where you are, to that point where you become essence, want to be offered up to God? Huh? Absolute tribulation. Absolute tribulation. And the cross. He was a thief in real life. A murderer in real life. But death faced him. He was hanging on a cross. And there's no way you're going to get out of this, Joe, he says. Look around. He saw Jesus. And God opened his eyes. And he said, remember me. Remember me when you come into the kingdom. What did he know about kingdom? Amen? A revelation of total abandonment. He'd finish. He knew he was finished. I'm finished with this life. Help me. Today. And so it is. We are going to be put in tribulation that none of us can conceive or consider for ourselves. And those of us who are offered up quickly will spare ourselves. The great, in other words, the tribulation is going to be in dimensions. According to what you need, that's what God's going to give you. Amen. To think of that distress is going to begin in 2008. I've had several dreams, several visions. Now, I'm not preaching out of dreams, you know. But if I dream something, I believe it. So, as an idiot, I'll tell you my dreams. Famine. I dreamt to see all of you hungry. I dreamt I saw all of you hungry. No food to eat. And little pieces of this and that. We try to find to give the children. That famine was upon the land. Tell me, brethren. America, the breadbasket of the world. No country has more food than this country. I mean, you start traveling across the Midwest here, and you get all in Texas, and food is hanging on the trees or on the fields that could feed the nations. Do you know, overnight, a bomb blew off, and all that food out in the field is dead meat. If you eat it, you're dead. Radiation. Overnight. Now that's the horror of what's going to happen. You're not going to have a famine because the earth stopped producing, but you're going to have a famine because you can't eat anything out there. We are talking about a people then who believe. Now this is a basic thought that I want to leave you with before I close. We are talking about a people who believe that the coming of Jesus Christ is inside here. Yes, it's all right to take Jesus is coming in the air. That doesn't mean much to you if he doesn't come in here. He has to come in the temple first.
Yes. Amen.
He has to come in the temple first. Then from the temple now, we will be able to see him. I will close at that. Somebody is going to go away and say, Jesus, Brother Seth says that Jesus is coming in the year 2008. I didn't say that. But what I say, it may be. In other words, if the destruction is going to begin in the year 2008, the sons of God will have to go a certain way before. But I believe it. And one of the problems is they're reading about it. You look at your television, you look at your news, and you see the thing happening. The nations are arming. The Islam is determined to destroy the United States. Islam is determined. Amen. The worst part about it, they are being helped.
Amen.
They are being given the bomb. Iran is pretending that they are making a bomb. They are only pretending because they have it already. And the people who give it to them don't want it to be said, we give you, because they are afraid we might attack them also. But no matter what happens, you see, Satan is playing his game. And the secret services of the world know everything that's going on in the other camp. For the devil is playing jack on both parties.
Yes.
My devil don't like your devil. Amen. And one devil working over here,
That's right. Getting
this one against the other one, the same devil working over there, and all he wants is blood.
Yeah.
It's blood. Amen. This place was prophesied to be a place of refuge. This place. God bless you. I want you to pray about that. I want you to pray about that. Because you know where I would begin if I had some money And I sat down on the money and did not do what God wants to be done. And then I find out that the money valued nothing. And nothing is done. I didn't do it. Yeah. I tell you over and over again about the story of the woman in Germany. She promised the church to build a place for the youth. She had the money. She kept the money. One day, she felt good. I have the freedom now to take this money down to the pastor. She took the money to the pastor. And the tears ran down his eyes. Did you read this morning's paper? She said, no. Your money is valued nothing. It was floating in the river. People were dumping all their money, floating down the river. Hitler changed the money overnight. And the money that people thought they had, they didn't have it. Brethren, we need a vision from God as to the time in which we are. Amen. There is no pension for me. I'm not saving anything for my pension. God is my pension right now. May God Almighty bless us, and may the Lord speak to us tonight.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you. We seems the 3 days went very fast, and we really thank God for the word that Brother Ducille has brought. George has these meetings on video, and I think it would be beneficial to hear the word more than one time. Father, we're so thankful for all that you're working in the souls of men and in our soul in this hour particularly. We thank you for your work within each one of our hearts, Lord, and your desire, God, that we should be made like unto Jesus Christ. That 144,000, part of the many-membered body of Christ, we know and have heard tonight what the requirement, the prerequisite is at the golden altar of incense. God, help us to maintain our focus upon Jesus Christ, upon the word that we've heard, that it might be applied in every facet of our lives. We thank you, O God, for your servant that you have sent. We pray your blessing upon him and upon his wife. God, give them traveling mercies. Give them rest tonight. They're out early in the morning. And Lord, we just pray for the overshadowing of your presence and the peace of God and the rest of God and the strength of God to be their portion. Father, bless them mightily. And we thank you, Lord, for this people. We pray your blessing upon each one, O God. Thank you for your goodness and mercy. Thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you for the life of the Son of God that you have delivered unto men. God, we pray for grace and strength to walk uprightly, circumspectly, not in the periphery, but God, with our eyes fastened upon Thee and our hearts set before Thee to do Thy will. We bless you tonight. We thank you for all that you're working in our hearts and lives. And we pray, God, that you glorify your name in the midst of this place. We pray for those that are traveling to Tulsa tomorrow and the next day. Cover them, O God, and keep them by your mighty hand. For all that are going to be on the roads over this weekend, Lord, let the blood of Jesus be upon each one to keep them and bring them safely home. Put your mighty angels round about airplanes, O God, and bring your people to their destination safely. We commit all to Thee by faith. We ask that you lead us and guide us into all truth in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.